Blog Talk Radio.
Black Prince in the building. Let's get this party started.
Yeah. This is a rough draft, you know what I'm talking about? Something I can practice on you haters on. Really, all I want to tell you boys is, get out of my business. Worrying about what the boy sipping. Y'all haters need to stop tripping. Get out of my business. Worrying about if I smoke hay. Trying to see how I get paid. Get out of my business. Worrying how I pull off the lot. Something new with no top. Get out of my business. No matter what, I won't stop. But when I drop, I won't flop. Get out of my business. Worrying about what the boy sipping. Y'all haters need to stop tripping. Get out of my business. Worrying about if I smoke hay. Trying to see how I get paid. Get out of my business. One how I pull out the lot. Something new with no time. Get out of my business. No matter what, I won't stop. Then when I drop, I won't flop. Get out of my business. First off, if I'm old and I'm in it. Nothing in the driveway, really got everything tinted. So when I ride by and I'm chilling, you haters can't see who winning. You wanna know too much. Don't really wanna know too much. Y'all wanna know too much. Say we doing too much. But you don't know nothing about us. You don't know nothing about us. Eliminate you up. The ride been rough. Life been tough. Pray to God we trust. Started from the bottom, still on the come up. We winning, we in the lead. Got to eat my dust. You can gossip all you want to, just press the line. Rolex and Cartier is high tech and time. You can hate on my wife cause she's so fine. I'm gonna zero to 60 and stop on the dime.
Haters.
And so what if all my kids got whipped? And we be taking trips on ships. I be stacking my chips.
Uh-huh.
I ain't even counting my tips. Y'all haters all in my mix need to shut y'all lips.
What?
Cause I ain't gonna slip. I'm like game over. I'm on my little flip.
Uh-huh.
Tell you like time to get off of my tip. Cause half you haters ain't
even on my list.
Get
out of my business.
Worrying about what your boy
love.
Y'all haters need to quit tripping.
Get out of my business.
Trying to start up slow K.
Trying to see how I get paid. Get out of my business.
One how I pull off the line.
Something new with no time, get out of my business.
No matter what, I won't stop. Then when I drop, when I flop,
get out of my business.
Worry about what the boy sipping. Y'all haters, if you quit tripping, get out of my business. Worry about if I'm okay.
Tryna see how I get paid, get out of my business.
Wonder how I pull off the line. Something new with no time, get out of my business. No matter what, I won't stop. Then when I drop, I won't flop.
Get out of my business.
The man cause the kids go to college.
And they're just trying to get knowledge.
And y'all always shopping. I get a million views when I drop it.
Yeah.
Plus I'm doing shows always church
hopping. Yeah.
Get a full pick, don't crop
okay.
It. Get the beat, go, don't stop it.
Hold up.
In my soul, don't mop it.
Uh-oh.
Burberry collar, I pop it.
22
bins, I cop it. I'm still riding solo.
Oh,
I'm
right.
With the dolo. When it's running out, I'ma get more. Here it comes fast, it comes slow.
I'm ready to roll.
I'm on my 10 toes. Killing the flow, I'm in my beast mode.
Getting
my own, that's on my T-Jones.
Yeah.
And alone, the prince got no clothes.
Set the front door, you better hold the phone.
It's on.
Better let the boys know.
Fire in the hole, I'm about to blow.
Oh.
I pass the door bell and knock down the door.
I'm
the best is getting arrested and that's for sure.
You hating?
Keep it on the low.
With all them questions, what you asking for?
You work for TMZ, homie,
let me know.
Asking if I smoke when you smell a drug. Get out my business. Worrying about what the boy sipping.
Y'all haters need to quit tripping. Get out of my business.
Trying to see if I smoke, hey. Wondering how I get paid. Get out of my business. Pull off the lot,
something new with no
stop.
Get out of
get
my
out
business.
No matter what, I won't stop. Then when I drop, I won't flop. Get out of my business. Worrying about what the boy sipping. Y'all haters need to stop tripping. Get out of my business.
Hold up.
Stop
rapping.
Say what?
Yeah. Y'all know what it is. It's the morning show with yours truly, the Black Prince of Preachers, Elder Andre Prevost is on the MIC. We want to thank God for everybody that's called in, everybody that's tuned in out there on Blog Talk Radio. That is my new hit. It is the underground version. It's going to be the underground version anyway. But I mean, what I'm trying to say, that's the rough draft. We ain't been to the studio. We're going to go to the studio. We're going to hit the highway and make some money to fly away. We're going to head down to Houston, hit up Harvey Love. You know what I'm saying? We're going to record maybe 6 tracks again. We're going to drop them again on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? The underground CD. We got a couple. We got... That's the Pardon beat that T.I. and Lil Baby beat. Yeah, he called it Pardon, but, you know, I call it Get Out of My Business.
Yeah, that's why all y'all haters out there that's always in somebody's business. Praise God. Let's go to the throne of grace real quick before we go any further. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you on this morning for allowing us to come together and congregate in your name. Lord, we thank you for everything that's going to take place on today. We thank you for any revelation knowledge that you are going to deliver today, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit move in a mighty way. Lord, we bind, we rebuke, and we cast away any work of the enemy today. And Lord, once again, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Like I said, we finna get this party started. Amen. We're going to go to the, let's hear some motivation this morning from T.D. Jakes. Praise God. We're going to hear some motivation. We'll be back in 3 minutes, 52 seconds.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was. If you lose a job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wit's end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to dove, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Again, we want to welcome everybody to Uncensored, the morning show with Elder Andre Prevost, the Black Prince of Preachers. Praise God. We are live. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank God for everybody out there on this morning. Praise God. Amen. Everybody that's called in, everybody tuning in today, Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Uncensored with the Black Prince of Preachers, Elder Andre Prevost. We thank God for y'all today. Amen. And we are about to get started here. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Amen. For everybody out there on this morning. Let me play one more segment right quick. After this segment, we're going to go and get this thing started. All right. All right. We're going to play another TDJ. This is when TDJ was on with Steve Harvey. And let me make sure I got it right. I got to make sure I got it right for y'all. Amen. Here we go.
Well, everybody, my next guest is a best-selling author, successful film and television producer, and the man who inspires millions each week through his message of positivity and faith. I can't even tell you what the man mean to me. Please welcome back my friend, Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Well, how you doing?
My man.
I'm good.
Thank you, boy.
How's everybody?
Wow.
Look at you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you coming.
I'm glad to be here.
Man, you've been busy since I last saw you.
I have indeed. I'm busy working on MegaFest, and you know about MegaFest. You came and blessed us at MegaFest and got your start. Well, not your start, but in the faith world.
Yeah.
Exposed you there. We got all kinds of activities and comedy shows and dramas and plays and spiritual elements and family fun.
How many people you think come through MegaFest total?
Well, you know, we were running about 100 and some thousand when we were in Atlanta each day, 300 some thousand over 3 days. Now we're going to 5 days. We've been doing about 80,000 in Dallas. And yet it doesn't feel like a crowd because we got so many different activities going on. You can tailor the event to what you want to be, whether it's economic empowerment sessions, business sessions, or just fun, hanging out with the kids,
yeah,
all ages, or whether you just want to go to church. We got all of it available. We're taking over Dallas.
Yeah. A lot of people always asking themselves, what can I do to be happy? That's a big question for a lot of people. Now, you have a system of 5 steps.
Yeah. Yeah, I've written 5 simple steps that really helps no matter who you are, what walk of life you're in. Number one, you have to own your own happiness. Take it away from other people demanding that they make you happy. Your kids are not going to make you happy. Your spouse is not going to make you happy. A big house is not going to make you happy. Own your own happiness and be responsible for doing those things that bring joy into your own heart independently of life and people and money and all of that stuff.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily give you a happiness. You have to take responsibility of that peace and that joy that lives inside of your heart and not inside of your stuff.
Wow.
Am I right?
Yeah.
And the second thing that I think people need to do is challenge their own story, because people torment themselves by how they see their life. They've told themselves a story as if it were the truth when it is really a perspective truth. And sometimes you've narrated a story that you beat yourself to death with. Challenge your own story. Change the way you talk to yourself about who you are and what happened to you and what you're going to do in your life. You wrote the script. Change the story. Change the dialogue. You can, am I right? You know?
Yeah.
The third thing that I think is very important is to enjoy the journey, yeah, not the destination. A lot of us delay our happiness. When I get to this level, when I get my degree, when I get the kids, when I get married, I'm going to be happy. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the whole step, the whole process. Every day that you get up to strive for whatever it is you're after. You know I'm a goal-oriented guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't celebrate when you get to the finish line. Celebrate all along the way. Celebrate,
yeah,
all along the way.
Yeah, man. You know, that's so true, because I hear people talking about a million, man. When I make $1 million, I'm going to do this right here. Well, look, if you've been making $25,000 a year,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden you're making $100,000 a year, I got news for you, man. You need to go eat a piece of cake and put a candle in it or something, because that's a big jump. And like you say, enjoying the journey is just realizing that,
yes,
there's joy in the process.
That, and then I put me on my calendar. Put me on my calendar, because I want my attention, too. Because if you don't see yourself as valuable, nobody else will. You know, nobody else will. The other point
The other point is make relationships count. Making your relationships count, because everything is about relationships. First of all, your relationship with God. That's a very important thing to have. Because as long as you know that there's somebody in charge, you don't have to bear the brunt of the responsibility and the weight of what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
You can talk to the boss. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, enjoy your relationship with yourself. If you don't like you, it makes it hard for me to like you. Because people, when you walk into their atmosphere, they draw you into the cosmos of their own drama. And if they're full of drama without you, when you come in, you become caught up in the cyclone of their drama.
Yeah.
Enjoy your relationship with yourself. And then anybody else who comes in, they enter into a party you already started. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the relationship with your kids, the relationship with your spouse, the relationship with your friends, taking time to enjoy the relationships, because there is no fruit. Nature teaches us that there is no fruit without relationships. You cannot be fruitful by yourself. In business, in home, in life, in church, I don't care what it is, you are no more than the relationships you surround yourself with, and make sure that those are good ones. The fifth thing, yep.
Yeah. Now, go ahead. I'm loving it, man.
Is this good?
Yeah, this is really good.
The fifth thing that I really ascribe to is balance work with play. You can't do all of either one and be successful. And to those whom much is given, much is required. And if you work really hard and you're a really diligent person, make sure that you do some play to balance your life out. If you play real hard but you don't work very much, you're going to be fun, but you're going to be hungry. You know what I'm saying? You got to balance work with play. You have to balance that with your children. If you're always a disciplinarian, your daddy going to get you when you get home. I don't want to always be the police in the house.
Yeah.
I want to be the fun guy sometimes. Balancing work with play calls it not only for you to be holistic, but for people to get a better perspective of who you are. I get on my Instagram and I put crazy stuff. My kids die. Just yesterday, I put me sweating in the gym saying they said it's going to be fun, but it hadn't gotten fun yet. You know,
yeah.
You know, to let people know that everything is not serious every day. That's too much pressure. We've got way too much pressure on us to be the people we were created to be.
You got to enjoy the journey and the process. Like I told my kids the other day, I said, let me explain something to y'all. If something happened to me and mama, I want you all to understand, y'all going to be around the casket crying because I'm not leaving you everything. I'm just not. I'm going to spend 85% of my income on me and your mama.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I'm going to leave about 5-10%. That's it. The rest of the money, me and your mama going somewhere. We can't go on vacation. No. No, I want to be just with your mother.
Well, here's
it's
the
cool.
thing that people don't understand about children. It is not what you leave to them that makes them great. It's what you leave in them. And if you leave enough in them, you don't have to worry about what you leave to them. If you leave more to them than you leave in them, they will run through everything you left to them.
Yeah.
But if you leave enough in them, you don't have to leave so much to them because they can go out there and make their own way in life.
Cool. I'm glad you said that because now they ain't getting nothing. Coming up next, Bishop T.D. Jakes has a special story to share with us that proves miracles happen right here on earth. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to the Uncensored Morning Show with the Black Prince of Preachers, Elder Andre Prevost. We thank God for y'all this morning. Once again, that was T.D. Jakes when he was on Steve Harvey sharing his five steps, amen, to happiness. Praise God. Amen. We thank God for that on this morning. We're finna get started in just a second here. Let me make sure we got everything going here. We on live YouTube. What's up, all you YouTubers? What's up, all you YouTubers? We thank God for y'all on today. I am the Black Prince of Preachers, Elder Andre Prevost on the MIC. Thank God for you on today. We're going to share this on Facebook real quick. Amen. Can we do that? Is that all right with y'all? That's all right with y'all? Good. That's great. Amen, 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 and make sure we still connected here. That's still connected. And that's still connected. What's up, what's up, what's up? We finna get started with this on this morning. Amen. We're going to be coming with a word this morning. We're going to come from John chapter 2. We're going to be talking about the wine. We're going to be talking about the why, but we're going to be starting off our morning show talking about, you know, one of the topics. I call it a worldly topic. You know, things that are going on in the world today. You know, we got the trial of George Floyd on right now. Praise God. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing that this some people are being held accountable for their actions. Praise God. Hallelujah. A man's life was taken, and people think because of their positions that they can get away with murder. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because they can legally do what they do. Well, it's time for an awakening. Two cops were just charged yesterday, as a matter of fact. They turned themselves in and bonded out. They were charged with the murder of a black man. Similar situation. They had him down on the ground. They were tasing him. He had a heart attack, asthma attack, ended up dying. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're on trial right now. So the police are not escaping justice these days. Praise God. They are not escaping justice these days. Now I'm going to talk about something that's very, very, very controversial. Amen. Especially among the Me Too movement. Praise God. And that is my boy R. Kelly. Yes. This is my thing about R. Kelly. This is all I want to know. All I want to know is, when are they going to start his trial? You know what I'm saying? When they going to start R. Kelly's trial? R. Kelly has been in police custody for a while now. I'm trying to adjust all these. I got a bunch of cameras right now. We live on YouTube. We live on Facebook. We thank God for all of y'all. Amen. Like I said, we are addressing some daily topics today before we get into the word. And the daily topic, we already talked about the George Floyd trial. We thank God for that going on right now. Some justice being served. A man lost his life. And in any other situation when somebody loses their life, somebody has to pay. Somebody has to receive justice, and, you know, years been going by without people receiving justice when it's a police-involved situation. Now, I want to open up the eyes of my black community, and I want y'all to realize that it's not just us. Praise God. It's not just the black community that is victimized by police officers, law enforcement. Praise God. If you look it up on YouTube, there are many videos. They don't care if you white, they don't care if you black. This is what it seems. And understand, I'm not talking about all police officers. We do have some good police officers out there, some good police officers that are serving the community and doing their job well. But there are some that treat the badge like it's a gang, like it's us against them. And they don't care. If you're not a cop, you them. Hey, man, I saw them shoot a white boy in the hotel. In the hotel lobby, in the hotel hallway, shot him with fully automatic weapons. You saw him take his last breath. I seen him shoot an old white man. He got out the car, hands up. Say, hey, guys, look, if y'all gonna kill me, y'all gonna kill me. They shot him and they killed him. You know, so it's not just us. But something has to be done. There's got to be some kind of regulations done to ensure that we have law enforcement that have our best interests at heart and not just theirs. I understand it's hard out there. I would be scared too if I was a cop. That's why I'm not a cop. I'd be trigger happy too. I'd be scared somebody ready to shoot me, and I'm going to shoot you before you shoot me. Bottom line. Praise God. Bottom line. That's just it. I'm going to shoot you before you shoot me. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not a cop. That's why I don't have a gun. Because I'd probably be in jail. Because I'd be to shot somebody because I'm thinking they're going to shoot me. You know? So everybody ain't made to be a cop. I ain't made to be a cop. You make a sudden move, I'm busting. You ain't going to shoot me. I know I'm a target. You know, that's I feel that's what a lot of them out there thinking. You make a sudden move. I was like, hey. I was talking to a cop one time. He said, you got your ID? I said, yeah. I went in my pocket. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. Keep your hands out your pocket. Wherever it's pistol, keep your hands out your pocket. So, you know, they scared. I don't blame them for being scared. I seen some videos where routine traffic stops. Cops just get pulled over. I mean, cops pull somebody over. And these are the, I seen a couple of black people on there. But I've seen a lot of white guys just get out and just start shooting. They just got out there, they got pulled over. One guy just opened up the car door and just started shooting. Pop, 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 pop. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of white guys. I seen one black guy, he got out. He didn't start shooting, but he started fighting them. And he beat them down. He beat them up. I'm not laughing. Why I am. But he beat them up and then jumped in his car and burned off. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So, yeah. Yeah. But what I'm tripping on right now. Let's move from the George Floyd real quick. Like I said, we do got a word coming up. We're just talking about some topics. R. Kelly, controversial topic right here. R. Kelly. Now, I understand. A few months ago, we'll say maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, I was at R. Kelly's defense. I admit, I was at R. Kelly's defense. Only because I grew up in a neighborhood where the kind of things that they were accusing R. Kelly of, I seen go on in my neighborhood, and it was voluntary. Understand what I've repented of that. Repent means you change your mind. I've changed my mind on that. Talking to people, yeah, okay. It may have been voluntary. The girls may have went on their own recordings, but they're saying, they're using, what everybody is saying is basically, that they don't have the brain capacity. They're not old enough to understand this, that he manipulated them because basically, you know, he's older, he's got money, he's cute, he can sing. So he manipulated their mind, basically, is what I've been told. And I'm like, okay, I can see that. I can see that. I'm not here this morning to defend R. Kelly or his actions. That's not what I'm here to talk about. That's not what I'm here to debate. That's not what I'm here to discuss. What am I here to discuss? Why are you talking about R. Kelly? George Floyd was killed during the height of the pandemic. If everybody recalls the pandemic, we had been on lockdown, at least where I am. We had been on lockdown. Then we come on the TV, George Floyd died. And the thing is, his killer is already on trial. His trial is already taking place. It's been, what, a year or less since the incident occurred, and he is already on trial. The situation with R. Kelly occurred in 2019. He has not gone to trial yet. What is taking so long? I don't know. I haven't really researched or did any, because they're not even talking about R. Kelly no more. He's not even a subject anymore. He's not the topic no more. You know, they got other, they're arresting white guys now, and they're accusing who's at the my quarterback down there, Deshaun Watson. They're accusing Deshaun Watson of inappropriate things with women. They're accusing a whole bunch of people now. Everybody's coming at, you know, Trey, little Trey from Boys in the Hood, you know his name. I can't think of his name right now. Cuba Gooding Jr., they accused him. You know, the Me Too movement is rapid. I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm not saying they're not guilty. I'm just saying right now it's open season. It's open season. They just accused the senator, the senator congressman dude down there with the good hair. You know, the dude with the good hair down there in Florida, the Trump supporter, the Republican. They say he been sex trafficking young ladies. I'm like, wow, like, this is the thing. This is the thing, and I want everybody to understand this. In this country, you are supposed to be innocent and to proven guilty. We all have our rights to have our own opinion. I can have my opinion about R. Kelly. Amen. Because, you know, when you talk to women when they get older, they talk about stuff they did when they was kids. We all do. We all talk about stuff we did when we was kids. And a lot of times when we talking, it don't sound like, you know, we regret. Like, if I go back, I wouldn't have done this or I wouldn't have done that. But it's not like we were forced to do it. Or somebody twisted our arm or coerced us to do it. It's like we knew what we were doing. We just talking about it, you know. And I feel like this is what's going on with that might be what's going on with the R. Kelly situation. Maybe and remember, R. Kelly was on there saying, remember his interview with Gail? He was like, why am I being singled out? Don't y'all find that peculiar? Ain't that strange to you? And nobody caught on. I caught on to that. But what R. Kelly was basically saying is, I'm not the only one doing this. T.I., Tiny, they supposed to be drugging you, giving you drugs, slipping your mickeys and ecstasy and getting you messed up. And then T.I. is supposed to be, you know, putting his foot up in girls and Tiny rubbing up booty on people's back. It's crazy right now. Praise God. The things that people are saying are going on behind closed doors. That's why R. Kelly was like, why y'all accusing me? Why y'all just singling me out? What about what everybody else is doing? Y'all got a whole series, Surviving R. Kelly. What about surviving T.I.'s expeditious praise God. What about all that? You know, why he's like, why am I being singled out? And now lately we see what's going on. I looked at it like this. I say, okay, if R. Kelly doing this, we believe in the world and we believe in the church that birds of a feather flock together. Yeah. Psalms. Let me show you what the words say. Let me take you to Psalms right quick. Psalms 1, I believe it is. It's right after Job. Hold on. There we go. Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Meaning you talk to people who are ungodly and they counsel you. They give you advice. If I was you, I'd do this girl. If I was you, I'd do that girl. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Standeth in the way. That means the way they stand, that's the way you stand. You do the things they do. Or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you act like them. And you only act like them because you hang around with them. So look at the people that did songs with R. Kelly. It was a couple people apologized. I'm sorry I did a song with R. Kelly. Okay, you apologize. What about T.I.? I ain't hear no apology from Tip. Praise God. Tip ain't do no apology. For doing his songs with he was on I'm a Flirt. T-Pain was on my I'm a Flirt. We know T-Pain lived that kind of lifestyle too, the swinger type lifestyle. We know that he said it on Arsenio Hall. They go to him and his wife go to the strip club. They leaving with one. His songs are real songs. When he talking about, you know, he had the bartender and he got one girl and another girl coming. Those are real songs T-Pain is talking about. So you're looking at T-Pain living that type of lifestyle. Just coming out now, Tiny and T.I., they've been living that kind of lifestyle. So where's the indictments? Where is the investigations? Where's the TV shows? I'm not saying R. Kelly is innocent. I'm just saying, where's the fair shake? Where's the fairness? How come the killer of George Floyd is already on trial and R. Kelly ain't on trial yet? I don't, it ain't about how much time he get. It ain't about guilt or innocence. It's about the right to due process. It's about a right to a speedy trial. When is this brother going to get his speedy trial? He ain't got it yet. Maybe his lawyers are the one delaying it. I don't know. I don't know, but this is ridiculous. People have been, people done got, went on trial and been sentenced between the time R. Kelly been arrested and his trial. We don't hear nothing about his trial going on. I'm waiting on Court TV to broadcast. I want to see this trial. I didn't see the last one. I want to see this real talk. So when is he getting his day in court? That's all I'm saying, people. Everybody has a right to their day in court. When is he getting his? It's not about guilt. It's not about innocence. It's about a speedy trial. It's about due process. It's about justice. And you can't be bringing back old charges on people. Look, they locked up too many people in the past couple of years during this Me Too movement. And I'm not saying unjustly. I'm saying, how long has this been going on? We know it's been going on since the beginning of time. But what's the statute of limitations on this thing? You know, what's the statute of limitations? How far can you go back to a night that you regret and say, I need him to be locked up? Praise God. What if, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But, hey, anybody out there want to comment on this? Y'all got any questions? The phone lines are open. 516-666-9967. Call in live. You're live with the Black Prince of Preachers. Praise God on this morning. Like I said, we got a word for y'all coming up in a few. Praise God. Right now, I want to play... I'm going to play y'all something real quick. This is one of my hits, one of my jams. Let y'all know how we living up in here. Hey, man, because you know how we do. I love you, Jesus. This is a remake. This is another remake. We remade, me and my daughter remade the Mr. Wrong by Mary J. Blige. That's a jam. That's a jam. It's not a good religious song to have, you know, because you're not supposed to have a Mr. Wrong. You're just not supposed to. But we remade it. It's called I Love You, Jesus. I want y'all to check this out. I Love You, Jesus. It's me and my daughter. Shout out to Peaches down at H-Town, Texas. Prevotions, we definitely representing. Y'all check it out.
I think they're ready though.
It's like,
what?
You wanna do right, but things keep going wrong.
Uh-huh.
Something about the name Jesus, it ain't just a song. Just keep calling on him, I promise it won't be long.
What?
To all your worries and your problems, they all will be gone. You say you're trying, well I tell you try harder. His grace is sufficient, ain't no telling what the Lord'll do. You need him in your life, the one and only Christ. He came, lived and died and paid a major sacrifice. So if you believe like I believe, eternal life you will achieve. Just lift him up and then you'll see the windows of heaven opening and blessings pouring out. When you feel the spirit, you'll start to shout. When praises go up, blessings come down. When you're alone, he's still around. Now come on.
I was living in sin till he came in my life. I was living in sin. My soul was for sale till he paid the price. Me like you do.
talking about Jesus on this morning. That's called I Love You, Jesus. That's the remake of Mr. Wrong by Mary J. Blige. We want to welcome y'all back again to the morning show, Uncensored with the Black Prince of Preachers, yours truly, Elder Andre Prevost, on the MIC this morning. We thank God once again for each and every one of y'all that are online that chose to be with us this morning. I hope y'all are ready for a word. I said I hope y'all are ready for a word, because we're finna drop a word on y'all this morning. Amen. It's a word I done preached, talked before. Amen. We're going to try not to be before y'all long this morning. I know y'all trying to watch y'all Ryan and Kelly and Ryan, and y'all Rio and Wendy Williams shows. Praise God. Amen. But, you know, we came with some word this morning. Y'all want some word? Because we got some word. Check it out. It says, we're going to come from John chapter 2 this morning. And the title of this is, where the wine at? Praise God. Where the wine at? Amen. Praise God. John chapter 2. Amen. This is about the wedding in Canaan. Y'all know about the wedding in Canaan. And it reads, and the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Let's stop right there. You know, I got to stop. Break it down a little bit to you. Amen. The third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother was Jesus of there. So Jesus' mother is already there. We have to establish this. The wedding is going on. Jesus is already there. Praise God. And it says, verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They were called. They were invited. Jesus' mother was already there. Praise God. And Jesus and the disciples were invited. Okay? So we need to establish this. This is what we got to establish right now. What we have to establish is the nouns and the pronouns right now. Right now we got nouns. We got Mary. We got Jesus. We got the disciples. Mary, Jesus, the disciples. That is who the literature is talking about right now. Nobody else is being mentioned in this conversation except Jesus, Mary, and the disciples. That's it. Elder, why are you so drilling this point home that they ain't talking about nobody but because of the next sentence? This is where we've been getting thrown out for years. Every time I've heard another preacher preach this, I'll be like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I think they got it, but they don't get it. They miss something. And when they, verse 3, and when they wanted wine, when they wanted wine. See, we've been told, and some people interpret this scripture, that when the wedding party ran out of wine, they wanted wine. The wedding party. We've been taught, and that we've been preached to, that they refers to the people who are already at the wedding. But they is a pronoun used to refer to a proper noun. Praise God. I hate to send y'all an English class, but I'm finna do it. Hallelujah. I said a pronoun is used to describe a proper noun. And usually the proper noun is pre-mentioned or fore-mentioned in the sentences before. So when the writer says they, he is referring to a noun. When he uses the pronoun they, he is referring to a proper noun which was mentioned in the foregone statement. In other words, he cannot be talking about the wedding party because the wedding party is not mentioned in the foregone statement. He is not talking about,
praise God, the guests at the wedding, because the guests at the wedding are not mentioned in the foregoing statements. The only people mentioned in the foregoing statements are Mary, Jesus, and the disciples, right? So when they wanted wine, they is referring to either Jesus, Mary, or the disciples. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There they go. Praise God. Well, Elder, what you saying? You saying Jesus drank wine? Yes. Yes, Jesus drank wine. I don't know why we walk around here as Christians acting like we can't read what the Bible say. We act like this with everything. We act like we don't see, amen, Leviticus 18, where it says, if a man lie down with another man as he lies with a woman, it's a sin that he shall be punished by death. When a woman, if a man lies with a woman that is not his wife, another man's wife, he'll be punished by death. If you lie with your brother, if you lie with your sister, if you lie with your kids, if you lie with your mother, if you lie with your father, all that's in Leviticus. They're under the sexual sins, but we act like we don't see them. Praise God. Then we got the nerve to get on somebody when we see them at the liquor store. Hallelujah. We see them at the grocery store with a bottle of wine in the car. Now, sister, you know you ain't supposed to be having it. Now, first of all, let me say this. If you're an alcoholic, you don't need to be drinking. I mean, if you get drunk and you wake up in the morning and don't know how you got home, if you got a DUI on your record, I was going to say more than two, but if you just got one DUI on your record, you don't need to be drinking. If you get drunk and beat your wife, if you get drunk and beat your husband up, or cheat on your husband or cheat on your wife, if you get drunk and you can't control yourself, you don't need to be drinking. The Bible says it like this. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. You were born with your eye. God meant for you to have that eye. But he say, I meant for you to have it. But if it's causing you to sin, pluck it out. He's saying it's okay to drink wine. The Bible says all things are lawful. Praise God. So it's okay for you to drink wine. Okay for you to drink your beer. I'm gonna say it's okay to smoke your blunt. It is. It's okay. Uh-oh. Supporters, I just lost some supporters. It's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's okay as long as, number one, it does not replace God, and number two, it does not affect you on a level to where you can't function. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you are alcoholic, like I say, if you start beating your wife, if you go drinking and driving, if you do stupid stuff, praise God. If you lose all sense of morality when you high and you drunk, you need to leave it alone. You need to cut it away. That being said, It didn't affect Jesus. Jesus drank wine before he went to the cross. Remember? Y'all forgot? Oh, yeah. Remember he said, this is my body who is broken for me. And he passed out some bread. And he said, this is my blood. And then he passed around a cup of wine. They call it the chalice. And everybody drank out of it. Yeah. That was wine. Well, it wasn't for a minute. Yes, it was. You didn't. See, they was always tripping on Jesus because he was always with the sinners. You think the sinners, when you were sinning, was you drinking grape juice? Was you drinking non-alcoholic beer? Praise God. Hallelujah. Was you smoking marijuana without the THC? You were smoking some CBD. You wasn't snorting the real cocaine when you was out there. See, Jesus was with the sinners. They say, why is he eating and drinking with the sinners? They ain't drink water back then. Water was too dirty. It was too hard to purify water. So they had wine. They drank wine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alcoholic wine is what the sinners drank. So when Jesus went and ate and drank with the sinners, they was tripping because he over there eating pork chops. They ain't supposed to be eating pork chops. Praise God. He eating with the sinners, so he eating what the sinners eat. He drinking what the sinners drank. So Jesus drinking some wine. Jesus said it like this. He said, y'all calling me a drunkard. Why would they call him a drunkard unless he was drinking? Praise God. Hallelujah. But that don't mean he was drunk. That means y'all assuming.
y'all see Elder Preble, I was with a beer, y'all, oh, Elder Preble's over there getting drunk. And I was just getting a little tipsy. Praise God, I don't even drink, I'm just saying. Praise God, hallelujah, assumptions, hallelujah. So Jesus did drink wine. So when they said when they wanted wine, they were referring to Jesus and the disciples. How do I know? Because it said, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Why would she tell Jesus they have no wine? It never said, you know, people are out of wine. We need to get some wine. Hey, Mary, go tell Jesus. They wanted wine, so she had to tell the person who wanted wine they ain't got no wine.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was the one wanting the wine. Well, Elder, where you going with this? You trying to, why are you talking about Jesus wanting wine? Y'all have to understand what wine symbolically means in the Gospels. When you're talking about wine in the Gospels, you are talking about life. He said, this is my blood. Praise God, which I have shed for you. I've shed my blood for you. I've given you the body, which was the bread. Now I'm giving you the wine, which is the blood. See, I can have this body right here, but if ain't no blood in this body, I'm not, this body ain't, I'm dead. I have no blood. Blood represents life. Are you with me? Blood represents life. And in the Gospels, wine represents the blood. So wine represents life. So Jesus was called, and he's asking for life. I don't know. I may have lost y'all. I don't know if y'all catching it. Praise God. He's asking for life. Jesus has been called into this situation, and he's asking for life. Praise God. Hallelujah. But they have no life left. See, I believe it says they have no wine. Substitute wine with life. Praise God. But I want you to add something. They say not to add nothing, so don't write it in there. Because I know y'all are superstitious. Don't write it in there. But they mentally, they have no life left. They have no wine left. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're not going to get all the way. Well, we is. We're going to get down there in a minute. Praise God. To where the host of the feast, the host of the wedding, said y'all done brought out the best wine last. He said usually they bring out the best wine first, then they bring out the cheap wine after you're already drunk. But in this case, they brought out the cheap wine first and the good wine last. That was his opinion of the wine. That tells me that they already had wine. So when she says they have no wine, what she's really saying is they have no wine left, that the wine has already been drank. Hallelujah. And now they have called God. Jesus is the Son of God. We believe God, him being the God in the flesh. When we go back to John chapter 1, John said, in the beginning there was the Word. When he refers to the Word, he's talking about Jesus. That was his nickname for Jesus, the Word. So when he says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he's saying in the beginning there was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and not only was Jesus with God, Jesus was God. So what has happened here is God has been called into a situation that has no life. And that's how a lot of us live our lives. See, Let me make this relate just a little bit more to you. When you went to a party, I gotta go back. I gotta break down what this wedding is. Back in the day when they had a wedding, it wasn't like we have a wedding now. You go to the altar, say your vows, y'all kiss, then y'all have a little reception in the back of the church, and then one of y'all drive off to whatever y'all gonna go to the hotel, wherever y'all do for your little honeymoon or whatever, and it's over with. Back then, well, even today, in traditional Jewish weddings, the wedding lasts about 3 weeks. It's a three-week party. It's a three-week celebration of this union. So it's an ongoing thing. It might last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even a month. It's like, y'all ever been to a party with Hispanics? I used to have a lot of Hispanic friends, and every time they had a party, it's like the kids is up. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. When is the party gonna be over? You know, black folks, 2 o'clock when the club closes, we good. We might stay in the parking lot till the parking lot empty, then after that we go home. But no, these Hispanics, they party all night long and then go to work right out. I mean, the party, they ain't even take a nap. Praise God. Come on, Andre, what's wrong with you, Andresito? Why are you so sleepy? Because I'm tired. We ain't had no sleep. We've been partying and drinking all night. Oh my God, you know. That's how this was. This party lasted about three weeks. This is only the third day into it. It's only the third day into it. So it's a long way to go with no why in this party. When you was in the world and you went to the party, if it wasn't no alcohol at the party, it was a dead party. You see where I'm going with this wine thing? It was a dead party if it wasn't no alcohol at the party. Alcohol is what brought life into the party. So Jesus has been called to a party with no alcohol. Oh, Lord. God forbid you go to a party and ain't no beer, ain't no drink at the party. Well, what are we here for? This is the illusion that represents a lot of our lives. This illusion represents a lot of our lives. And a lot of our lives, it appears that we got everything going on. Imagine Jesus going to this party from the outside. You hear the music. Doom. Hey, you see people dancing, people eating, people, they got cups. You assuming it's drink in the cup. So you sit down and you like, man, where the drink at? Where the bar? Your mom, where the bar at? They ain't got no wine, baby. What? They need to shut this place down. Look what he said in the next scripture. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. Now, a lot of people took that to mean I ain't come here, you know, it ain't time for me to work no miracles. Like she was asking him to work a miracle. Praise God. I don't believe she was asking him to work a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me put it like this. I believe she tricked him. I believe she knew they didn't have no wine when she invited him. Because it say the mother of Jesus was there, and then it say Jesus was called. Well, who called him if it wasn't her? She tricked him. That's why he said, my hour ain't come. You tricked me into coming here, telling me it's wine here. Then I get here, ain't no wine. I ain't come here to work no miracles, mama. I came here to chill. Understand, this is the last before I go out and preach to the masses and lose my life and put everything on the line for these people who don't appreciate it. I'm going to come to this party and I'm going to chill out, hang out with my boys, give them a drink on a little bit, maybe dance, cut a rug a little bit before we get out there and do what we got to do. And here I am. Then I get here, and everything looked like it was copacetic. Everything looked like it was all good. From the outside, it looked like this party had it going on. But then I get to this party, inside the party, and it ain't no life in this party. It's a dead party. Praise God. And we have invited, a lot of us have invited Jesus into our lives, and there's no life. Praise God. There's no life. And Jesus is exposing this. Mary has exposed this. There's no life. They front, and it's a lie. Quit envying everybody else. Because it looked good from the outside. You hear the music playing. You see people dancing, but they ain't got no alcohol. Hallelujah. They life look like they got life in it. They got the Lexus in the driveway, the Benz in the driveway, the Tesla in the driveway. The driveway, look, it's a big driveway. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a two-story. It's on acres. Hallelujah. They bank account on swole, these people, but they don't have no life. No life, no joy, no happiness. Hallelujah. Remember when you get to drinking, that's when you get happy. You get that, before that, you're like, oh, this party boring. You get to drinking, you're like, oh, I kind of feel it now, girl. What's that? That's my jam. Same song been on. All you did was take a shot. Same song was on. Praise God. All you did was take a shot. And now that you took that shot, that liquor done hit your system and you starting to feel good. Hold up now. Starting to feel good. Yeah. See, a lot of people got the party going on and you see them, they moving, but they don't feel good because they ain't got no liquor in their life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So they ain't got no joy. Why? Because everybody else at the party used it up before Jesus got there. Hallelujah. That's what's happening to a lot of us. Our parents, our spouses, our children, our jobs, people, our co-workers, our bosses, our friends. Hallelujah. Have used up all of our wine. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife tell me all the time, you about down to your last drip of wine. Hallelujah, amen. God got to replenish you. Hallelujah, because other people have taken it. Hallelujah, amen. And that's what happened in this case. Jesus got there, and you know other people took it because other people were already there. They already been drinking. Hallelujah, they already in the party. Hallelujah, you came. Now you done came when all the wine gone. Lord, have mercy. And Jesus upset about it. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Hallelujah. Amen. The servants worked there. Hallelujah. This come to me right now. The servants worked there. So they don't want to work in hostile conditions. Hallelujah. Amen. They want everybody to be nice and tipsy so they can get some tips. Think about it. If you was working a party, you want everybody to be nice and drunk so they can leave you some tips. I used to work the soccer games. When the soccer games went to, San Antonio, we used to go to San Antonio, work the soccer games. When them Hispanics get drunk, they'll buy a beer and give you a 20 and walk off. Buy a couple of beers, give you a 50 and walk off. They drunk. The servants like, look, these people sober, they ain't tipping. Whatever you want us to do, we gonna do it. Now look, I want you to understand something. This is what God is saying to all of us. You want me to replenish the joy in your life? You want me to replenish, amen, the happiness in your life that everybody else has stolen? You want me to replenish your life? Whatsoever God asks you to do, you need to do it. Now this is when I can't preach this. I can't teach this because this is an individual thing. Yeah, he told them to go get the water pots and fill the water pots up in order to replenish their wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But whatever God asks you to do, hallelujah, it's tailor-made for you, hallelujah, because you think you're empty, hallelujah, but you don't understand the residue. Watch this. Whatsoever he tell you to do, do it. Verse 6, and there were set there water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 frankincense apiece. Containing 2 or 3 frankincense apiece, 18 or 27 gallons apiece. I want you to understand something. The verbiage could mean that these pots have the ability to be filled to 27 gallons, or it could mean that it's already containing 27 gallons. Praise God. Remember, these pots are used after purifying of the Jews. In other words, there could be some residue in these pots. See, people may have used up your joy, used up your happiness, but there's still some residue. It's some residue. It's like, oh, Lord, Jesus. It's like Kool-Aid. You know, Kool-Aid, you ever got down to the bottom of the Kool-Aid and it's this film at the bottom, and some sugar and the Kool-Aid color at the bottom, and you pour a little water in it and stir it up real quick and you drink it? Y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. The bottom of the Kool-Aid, after you done poured all the Kool-Aid out, there's still some residue at the bottom. So you see, the enemy wants you to believe that all of your joy, all of your happiness, he wants you to believe all this has been used up. He wants you to believe that it's all gone, that you have no more. But it's some residue. All you got to do is add some water. Lord have mercy. Jesus. But look, I understand. I don't know what the water is for you, but I know it's going to take some time. How I know it's going to take time? Because Jesus said in verse 7, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. They filled them to the brim. They filled them all the way to the top, all the way to the top. The reason I know this took some time is because they didn't have running water like we do. They didn't have garden hoses. They didn't have anything like that. They had to get a bucket. They had to get a bucket. They had to go to the well, or they had to go to the lake, or they had to go to the river. And they had to draw this water and walk it back to the pots, because they couldn't pack the pot. Understand, these are big pots. If it's already containing 27 gallons, that's a big pot. I ain't finna pack a 27-gallon pot. Praise God. So they got these pots, and they filling them to the brim with water. So they got to go back and forth with this water. Now, this is the crazy part, because they need wine. Praise God. That's why you're going to have to really, really pay attention when God is speaking to you. Hallelujah. Because he's going to give you instruction that's not going to match what you're asking God for. Hallelujah. You might ask for a closer relationship with your wife, and he might tell you to go spend some time with your children. Hallelujah. But wait a minute. I'm asking for time with my wife. Well, go spend some time with the kids. And spend time with them until they're happy. Then go back home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You never know what's going on. She just might need some space from you. Praise God. Lord, he got out the house for a couple hours. Oh, praise God. I feel a lot better. And then you know, after you gone, when somebody wants you gone, when somebody wants you gone, once you gone, they can't wait for you to come back. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God might be I might be prophesying into somebody's life. You might want a close relationship with your wife, and God telling you need to duck away for a little bit. Let her chill so she can miss you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, amen. They had to go back and forth packing this water, so this took a while. And they packing water, not wine. They ain't packing no grapes. That'd been different. Jesus said, go get some grapes. Step on them. At least, you know what I'm saying, that's close to what I asked for. Praise God. But you're telling me to go get water and to pack this water? God telling you to do something that don't make no sense to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But complete the task. Complete the task. Hallelujah. Because watch this. It says, he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not hence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man in the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept good wine until now. So he's saying, this wine that you got now is better than wine you had before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your joy you got now is better than the joy you had before. The happiness you're experiencing now is better than the happiness you had before. But you got to go through that period without the wine when there ain't no life going on. And then God will restore it, and it'll be better than it was before. You can't get a divorce when you're out of wine. Hallelujah. You can't kick the kids out when you're out of wine. You can't quit your job when you're out of wine. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to let God restore you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then it'll be better. People will tell you, we was going to get a divorce. We used to have a correspondent, EVCS, Raise the Praise. Evangelist Vicky Cheney Smith. Shout out to you. Praise God. Shout out to EVCS. Raise the Praise, girl. Hallelujah. She said her and her husband were on the brink of a divorce. They were at the attorney's office. But something changed. Now she can't get enough of that man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But what if she would have went in and got a divorce? She would have missed out on the better, the latter part. Jesus said your latter day will be greater than your former day. You thought it was good back then. See, we always take it to be like, oh, it was bad in the beginning. It's going to get better. And how come it can't be good in the beginning, get bad, and then get better than it was before? Hallelujah. Maybe this is a process of life that God is trying to show us we go through, that people will drain us of our energy, drain us of our love, drain us of our compassion, drain us of our joy, drain us of our happiness, but I can replenish it, and you'll have more patience than you had before. You'll have more happiness than you had before. You'll have more compassion, more joy than you had before. And won't nobody know but the people, amen, who served you. The people who were there, amen, through the dramatic changes. The people that helped, hallelujah, the people that ministered to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all about getting that wine. Where's the wine? Getting that wine back in your life. Getting that happiness back. Praise God. We finna get out of here, but let me, verse 11. This is the most important part that God wants everybody to know. It says, this is the beginning of miracles, did Jesus in Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This is the beginning of miracles. So, Jesus' first contact with people that we see, according to John. Hallelujah. His first miracle was restoring life into the party. Lord have mercy. See, a lot of us want our first miracle to get that house, our first miracle to get that car. Not just any car. You want the Mercedes-Benz, drop top, bubble line. Yeah, yeah. You want that big house. You don't want to start off in an apartment. You want to start off straight up, God, I want that house. That's your first miracle you want. You want that man. Even though you're married, you want that man. You want that woman. That's your first miracle. You want them women. Can I say it? You want them women. That's your first miracle. That's the miracle you want God to do in your life. You want that money. You want the bag. You want the cash. You want the dollar bill, y'all. That's your first miracle that you want. But the first miracle God wants to do is restore your life. Hallelujah. Restore your life. That's the first miracle God want to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you follow his instructions, he will do so. And it'll be better than it was before. Your marriage will be better than it was before. I always say, I want it to be like it was in the beginning. And Lord, you tell me it's better than it was in the beginning. Praise God. This is the thing. Sometimes we got to open our eyes and look. This is what a lot of us do. Praise God. Like I say, we're going to get out of here, but I got to break this down. It's a psychological thing. I like studying the brain, not reading books about it. I like studying people and seeing how people react to certain situations. That's how I study the brain. And the way you react to a certain situation is your brain responding to the situation, which causes you to act a certain way in the situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I got some notifications popping up there. I don't know what they mean. Praise God. So when you study the brain, amen, you'll find out that if you reprogram your brain, your brain gets stuck. It gets stuck in what's going on, what has already happened. Like I watch divorce court a lot. A lot of people go on divorce court talking about how somebody cheated 5 years ago. Praise God. Well, the judge asked, have they cheated lately? Praise God. They were like, well, I think he has, but I ain't got no evidence. And they like, I haven't cheated since I got caught the last time. But in their mind, they still cheating because they haven't opened their eyes and looked. They're going on memory. Your brain is going on memory instead of actually what it sees. As Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight, by the word of God. Praise God. But our brain, when it comes to when God steps in and fixes a thing, you have to actually open your eyes and look and see that it's been fixed. You can't keep going off of what you know, what you knew. Not what you're going off of what you knew, not what you know, if you understand what I'm saying. You know what happened in the past, but you don't know what's going on right now. So what you do is you lean on the past and say, well, since I don't know what's going on right now, what was going on before must be going on right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God said, no, that's not the case. Praise God. You need to open your eyes and see. Drink that wine. Taste it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Walk up to your wife and kiss her. Walk up to your husband. Hallelujah. Give him a hug. See, you know, y'all been arguing. Y'all been fighting for years, but have you tried something different lately? Hallelujah. Have you tried a kiss? Have you tried a hug? Have you tried holding his hand? Have you tried talking to your child? I know the last time you talked to him, they didn't want to talk to you. Hallelujah. But you forgot how you was when you was a child. Praise God. When you was a teenager, your hormones were raising. You forgot all that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to work with what you got. They had them servants had to work with what they had. All they had was those pots, whatever was in those pots, and some water. Hallelujah. And they were able to be restored. You can be restored today. All you got to do is believe God. All you got to do is trust God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants to put the life back in your party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God on today. God wants to put the life back into your party. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to restore the joy, the happiness. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's break out the illusion. out the illusion. From the outside, everything looks good. Hallelujah. Just like when Jesus and disciples went to this party, everything looked good. Everybody was dancing. People were eating. The music was playing. But it wasn't no wine at this party. It wasn't no life in this party. Hallelujah. And let me recap a little bit, and then we're going to open up the line. Amen. Those of you on Facebook, YouTube, y'all can call in live. 516-666-9967 to Uncensored. Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your testimonies. We want to hear your prayer requests on this morning. Praise God. And you can call in. The phone lines are open. Praise God. 516-666-9967. We on John chapter 2 right now. We talking about the wedding in Canaan. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm recapping. The wedding did not have no wine. And to recap once again real quick, the wedding wasn't nothing but a party, a big old three-week party, a party with no wine. And like I said, when we was in the world, when we went to a party and there wasn't no wine, I'm finna leave this party. Somebody better call up or something. This is a dead party. Ain't no life in this party. And that's what Jesus was saying. Ain't no life in this party, mama. My time is not yet come. Ain't no life in this party. And that's a lot of us. Stop envying people, the Lord says. Because you looking over, the grass look greener. The cars look shinier. The women look fine. The men look handsome. Hallelujah. The money, it looks like it's way more money over there. Hallelujah. But ain't no life. What's the good? See, understand this. Every component of the party was there, the people, the food, the music. But the most important thing was the wine. Remember, we used to go to a party, wasn't no food. Wasn't no chips, wasn't no dip, wasn't no chicken, wasn't no fish, wasn't nothing but a radio and a cooler. Hallelujah. Wine coolers for the ladies. Amen. Beers for the men. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ain't need no food. Food for what? As long as it was some wine. As long as it was some alcohol. Hallelujah. The party was on. Jesus got to this party. Wasn't no alcohol. Hallelujah. Amen. They was faking the front. Hallelujah. How many of us faking the front? Hallelujah. You know you faking the front. There ain't no wine in your party. Hallelujah. You ain't got a keg. You ain't got nothing. You faking. Want us to think, you know, you living all good and all this and all that. You talk a good game. Praise God. Hallelujah. But this is why people commit suicide. This is why people walk in and mass shootings occur, because they out of wine. People have used their wine up, but the only person you can turn to when all of your wine has been used up is Jesus. Lord, have mercy. I said I wasn't going to preach this morning. But the only person you can turn to, hallelujah, when all your wine have been used up is Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you follow his instructions, Lord have mercy. That's all you got to do is follow his instructions whatsoever. It ain't going to make no sense because you need wine, but he's going to tell you to go get some water. Lord have mercy. It's going to seem like maybe God didn't understand what I was saying. I want a closer relationship. Hallelujah. Amen. With my wife, with my husband. You want me to spend time with my kids. I want a closer relationship with my parents. You're telling me to hang out with my brothers and sisters. Lord. Hallelujah. But whatsoever he tell you to do, I guarantee you his instruction, if you follow it, it will not fail. Hallelujah. And in the end, your latter day, only people that were there with you when you were going through will know. Because the people that you envy now, they're going to be envying you because they ain't got no life in their party. And when they see you got life in yours, they're going to want to know, what did you do? Yeah, I got the Lexus. Yeah, I got the Benz. I got the Mercedes. Yeah, I got the house. I got the wife. I got the kids. I got the husband. I got the job. I got the money. But I want to blow my head off. I feel like going to my job and killing everybody because I have no life. Hallelujah. Well, God, hallelujah, can restore that life today. Hallelujah. Whatsoever he tell you to do, do it. Whatever that is for you, hallelujah, go to him in prayer. Hallelujah. You ain't got to call a prophet. You ain't got to call. I said you can call in, but you ain't got to call in to me. You ain't got to call a prophet. You ain't got to call your pastor. You can get down on your knees. So you see, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil, hallelujah, that separated the holiest of holies from the rest of the temple. See, I got to explain. The holiest of holies is where the Spirit of God was believed, hallelujah, to live. Hallelujah. And by ripping the veil from the top to the bottom, understand it wasn't an ordinary veil. The veil was, I believe, 9 feet tall and 6 feet wide. Lord have mercy. 6 feet in width. That's how you had to walk through this veil 6 feet. They had to pull it back. It took a priest on the left, priest on the right. They all got a piece of the veil holding it so that the priest can walk in and make the sacrifices to God. Well, when the veil ripped from the top to the bottom, Jesus exposed two things. First of all, he was exposing the fact that he wasn't back there. He was on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. What you saying? I'm saying the preachers was lying. The priest was lying. They were saying God was back there, but God was on the cross, and he revealed that when not only that, not only was that revealed, but there's no longer a separation. I no longer got to go to the priest. I ain't got to call Bishop Page to get to God. Hallelujah! I can go down on my knees. I can go in my bathroom and close my door. Hallelujah. And God will be right there with me because we're no longer separated. You can go to God right now and say, God, I heard the word today. Bow your heads when we're going to go to the throne. Lord, I've heard your word on today. And I'm one of those people, Lord. I've been living a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been living a facade. I come across like I got it all together, like I got it all figured out, but I'm in deep depression, Lord. Hallelujah. But I know, Lord, now that you sent your messenger to tell me that you can restore me today. Lord, I just need to know what you want me to do. Hallelujah. And I'll do it. Hallelujah. Speak to me, Lord. Give me the revelation of what I need to do to be restored. And I thank you. You got to thank him. I thank you right now. Hallelujah. Even though I haven't heard your voice yet, I thank you right now. Even though I don't know what to do yet, I thank you right now. Even though I haven't been restored yet, I thank you right now. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God and amen. Praise the Lord on today. If there's somebody out there that doesn't know Christ, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to steal Joel's line and I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my life. Wash me and make me whole. I make you my Lord and Savior. Praise God. And according to the word, if you believe that in your heart, hallelujah, and you're just confessing with your mouth, the Bible says you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. We invite you to find you a church home, get into the word of God. Hallelujah. You can go to YouTube. You can go to the Black Prince of Preachers. Hallelujah. YouTube channel. You can go to Care Broadcast. You can go to Care TV. On YouTube also, CareTV. Praise God. That's on YouTube also. The Black Prince of Preachers is on YouTube also. You go to our Facebook pages. But we encourage you to find a church home near you. Hallelujah. If you're in Texas, you know, the governor done lifted our restrictions. We free to do whatever we want to do down here now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So find your church home. It's too many. It's too many of them down here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you in the hood, amen, I know it's a church on every one of your corners. It's a liquor store on this corner. It's a church on that corner. You need to find you one. You need to go. Amen. Praise God. And ask God to lead you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Praise God. To the church home you need to be in. Hallelujah. We thank God for each and every person that called in and tuned in on this morning. I want to open up the phone lines at this time. Praise God. If we got somebody on the phone line today that has a testimony, prayer request, hallelujah, you got a comment, amen, praise God. If you got something to say, the line's open. Hallelujah. Is there one on today before we get out of here? Is there one? Amen. Well, bless the wonderful name of God on the day. All praises due to Jesus. We thank God for everybody that called in, everybody that tuned in to the morning show, Uncensored, with yours truly, the Black Prince of Preachers, Elder Andre Prevost. We're going to try to expand this show. We're going to try to get some guests. Amen. Praise God that can be here in the living room with me, in the studio with me. I call it the studio, but it's really my dining room. Amen. Praise God. We got the ghetto studio going. But praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is moving. He's doing some things. We expanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe we can get some guest speakers. Amen. Maybe we can get some interviews going. Amen. Praise God. And we thank God for each and every person out there that tuned in on Facebook, everybody that tuned in on YouTube, everybody that tuned in on Blog Talk Radio. Praise God. We're going to go and get out of here. I thank God for each and every last one of you on today. We're going to be back. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the throne. Father God, in the name of Jesus, once again, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your word on today. Thank you for being with us on today. We praise you. We magnify your name. And as we leave the line, but never from your presence, we simply pray that your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us. We all come back together again. On behalf of First Lady and myself, we love each and every last one of y'all. Y'all have a blessed day. Y'all go with God. Don't forget, say your prayers for the end of the day, and watch what God can manifest in your life on today. Y'all have a blessed day. Y'all go with God. Hey, I got your son right here. I give myself away. I kind of like it. Amen. Y'all jamming with me. Y'all have a blessed day. Go with God. We'll see y'all next time. Black Prince.
you.